Well, hey guys, welcome to another edition of the podcast. So glad to have you joining us. And we, as always, we've got Pastor Matt here with us.
Hey.
Yep. All right. Okay. Hey, Lod, hello there.
Sorry.
That's all right. And stepping in as a special guest today, we've got Leanne West.
Hello.
Yep.
I'm here.
All right.
Well, I was trying to one-up Matt, and it didn't work.
Like, we are off to a fantastic start today.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. So typically, we've got Pastor Andy sitting over there in the chair, but this past weekend, Leanne stepped in and shared the message with us, did a great job, fantastic job this weekend.
Crushed it.
That's Matt's go-to comment, by the way.
Crushed
you were,
crushed it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Or that's
just
good.
Just a blanket. Crushed it.
Also, this. It works every time.
Does it?
I thought a great way to start this would be to have Leanne just sing the song she was going to sing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you missed the intro part, Leanne had talked about a time when she was in middle school trying out for all-county chorus, and there was a song that she had to sing in front of about 40 other students and the teacher, and they were going to record her on the tape recorder. And so she was going to sing a song. So Leanne has agreed to give us the version of the song that was supposed to happen.
Remember agreeing. It was a suggestion.
Well, I mean, it's here now.
It was a great suggestion.
I mean, it's here now.
You're going to make me do it?
hey, everybody's tuned in just for this moment right
yes.
now.
Watch the numbers start rising.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right now. What you got?
I don't even
know. What's,
I
mean, what's the name of the
song? The name of the song was River in Judea. And I don't remember
amazing.
The words.
The fact
to it
that she remembers
for that,
that is amazing.
All right. Well, if you can't sing the song, then you at least got to make the noise that you made when you tried to sing and nothing came out.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like a. How's that?
Nailed it.
It's like, you know, chokehold. You can't breathe.
I can't believe she actually did it.
Hey,
River in Judea.
I was this close to
everybody
singing,
looked
but
that
you
up.
Gave me a plan B.
Okay.
So.
Well, hey, if you're that close
no,
to singing, go right ahead. Nope, no, yeah. I've got to wait
good.
For it.
I'm good.
All right. Well, we were in another part of our series, Get Healthy, and you took us into Judges. We looked at Gideon and really talked about the idea of overcoming insecurity. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe a good place for us to really, as we kind of really dive in now, is to talk about why does the idea of overcoming insecurity, why do you think that's so vital? Why is that so important for us to spend time talking about?
I always come back to the whole idea that insecurity is like a pit. I know we talked about that mm-hmm. in the sermon this week. But it just becomes this place that you live in, and it's it just kind of has a hold on you, and it's hard to take steps forward. Every day you can just kind of be stuck in that insecurity, and it's just a way that you live. And so, and I've walked through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've dealt with that, you know, in the past. And so I just thought it was so huge, to touch on that and to look at, hey, there's people that God used in a really big way, and they also struggled with this. So that's why we went that direction.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. I love the story of Gideon. And I think it's the perfect example of how easy it would have been to just stay stuck in that, you know, the wine press, the mm-hmm. hiding there. But I loved how you really dove into that. What was that tool called again?
The flail.
Flail.
The curved pitchfork.
I was like, this is awesome. It was good.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I think if anybody spent a little bit of time in church, chances are they've heard about Gideon and kind of heard his story. But what I appreciated about as you were kind of laying some of the groundwork there in the message is that you really took time to explain to us about why hiding in the wine press, why was that such a big deal, you know, when it came to threshing of the wheat. And we don't do a whole lot of threshing of wheat right now. I don't know that
it's every Wednesday for me.
Is it really?
Hey, just threshing wheat.
This Wednesday, as you're watching this, come on over to Matt's house. We're all going to be threshing wheat together.
Wheat Wednesday.
But Wheat Wednesday.
Got to laugh.
This is okay. This is worse than when Andy's here.
Hey, you invited me here.
Oh man. But kind of the idea of why was that such a big deal that he would actually go into the wine press to thresh the wheat rather than being on the hill? And you talked about how the wind really helps out with that. So it really kind of helped to paint this picture of he's not just hiding. He's not just hiding because he wants to be hiding, but he's actually making the job more difficult by hiding, which is a great connection point for us as well about what fear and insecurity do, about how much more difficult it makes life to be as well. And I thought you did a great job of pulling that out, pointing that out to us.
Thank you. Yeah. Just thinking about the lack of wind and how hard it would have made his job. It just really tells you too what kind of place he's in, not just that he's hiding, but he is in survival mode. And I think some of us, maybe we get in that mode too. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get through and get by and push through things like insecurity on our own. And it's just really cool how God met Gideon too in the middle of that, you know, and then that God meets us in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't wait for us to decide to come to him, but he comes, he seeks us out and he comes to us and he meets us in the middle of that place.
Yeah, and I love that. That's probably my favorite part of that. The whole story is God meets him in that place and says, "Mighty warrior," or "Mighty hero," mm-hmm. I think is the New Living Translation. And just how you drew that out of God spoke who he was, who God saw him to be over him instead of the thing that he was stuck in the middle of. And I think we do that to ourselves. We speak what we're stuck in over ourselves instead mm-hmm. of what God sees in us. And just that reminder this week was really powerful of I'm not what I'm stuck in the middle of. Mm-hmm. I'm who he's created me to be. Mm-hmm. So that was just powerful.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of the first points that you made about when it comes time to, you know, overcoming insecurity. It was this idea of knowing who you are, knowing who God has called you to be, knowing who God has created you to be, and not just seeing your circumstances. Why do you think that knowing who you are, having a clear picture of what your identity is and who you really are, why do you think that's so difficult for us today?
Well, it's the whole idea of God knows who we are, mm-hmm. and we think we know who we are. And so I think we just have this idea of ourselves. Maybe we've had past experiences where we've seen like, oh, I'm just not good at that. Or we talked about this in the sermon too. We have people that speak things over us. Maybe as a kid, someone told us, well, you'll never be able to do that. And so those things stick with us. And we just have this idea of who we are through those lenses. And Gideon, you know, he thought he was a scared farmer and God spoke over him. He was a mighty hero. Mm-hmm. So we just have this idea of who we think we are. And I mean, personality tests can tell us a lot of things, but that's not all we are, right? God knows who we really are. And he saw that before he even created us. He saw who he wanted us to be. And I just think that is just so beautiful that mm-hmm. God sees that. He sees down the whole line of our life when he's creating us, and he knows who he creates us to be.
Yeah, that's really good. Identity in and of itself seems to be and I think it's always been that way too, just talking about a topic for conversation and really recognizing who you are. And we search out trying to fit, it's like this overwhelming question, I got to know who I am, I got to know what I'm supposed to do. And we kind of get these things wrapped up in our identity. We can find identity in a lot of the wrong places. Would you say that was one of those life-changing moments for Gideon? And if so, What is it about what he believed about himself and how that changed? How did that dictate his future? Because you kind of alluded to that at the end about how his life changed after this moment. What was it about recognizing that really led to that life-changing moment for him?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was life-changing. He also wrestled with God with that for a minute, because mm-hmm. you see that he comes back and says, but wait a minute, like, I'm small. My family is the weakest. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way that I am the person that you're calling me to be. And so he definitely wrestled with God in that, but God just continued to speak that courage over him. And I think when he finally recognized, okay, this is who you've called me to be, this is who you created me to be, when he recognizes that and he realizes that he doesn't walk in that alone, like he's not stepping out into who God's called him to be alone, mm-hmm. but God says, I'm with you, you know, I'm going with you. And I think that's when it seemed like it clicked for Gideon.
Wow.
When he really recognized that God's created me to do this, but I'm not doing it alone, but I'm doing it in the strength of the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that God wasn't saying, I need you to get better at this thing. And you pointed that out, to mm-hmm. use what you have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just go with what you've got and I've got the rest.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, I feel like maybe sometimes, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but like sometimes we think we've got to be so much better at something before we can jump into it. And it's almost like God's just like, no, just jump in the deep end.
Yeah. And you kind of, it points to comparison a little bit. I mean, we didn't talk about that mm-hmm. in the message, but we can easily look at those beside of us or those who are doing what we want to do, or we feel like God's calling us to do, and we can compare ourselves to them, you know, and say, well, I don't speak the same way as them, mm-hmm. or I don't look at this the same way as them. So I think comparison can be a trap that leads to insecurity too.
Well, I don't think you necessarily hit on it directly, but indirectly you did in the illustration that you used when you were talking about, you know, being locked out of the house and how,
oh yeah, yep.
and how you and Chris were trying to, you're just using what you had, right? Mm-hmm. You're using the plastic car keys or cards, or you're using Chris's shoulder, which may or may not have been his foot as well. And
for our friends who are professionals at
friends,
this sort of thing.
Yeah, I resent that remark. I mean, just because I have broken into homes before doesn't mean that we're professionals about it. But you kind of talked about, you know, we could have sat back and, you know, worried about not having our keys, mm-hmm. looked at our neighbors who were in their homes. And, you know, so there is that little bit of that comparison there. But I think you've hit on something really powerful, too, is that oftentimes we do just sit around and compare ourselves and wishing that we had somebody else's gift, mm-hmm. or wish that we had somebody else's ability, or had somebody else's resources that they have, or sit there and look about what are they doing that I'm not doing that's got them in the position that they are. And so we do a lot of comparison and trying to be them, mm-hmm. rather than trying to be the person that God created us to be.
Yeah. And I think that can keep you stuck in a pit too. Because if I look mm-hmm. at someone and I say, I can't do that like that, mm-hmm. and I choose just not to take a step at all, then I'm staying where I am.
Yep.
So. Well, and I think you talked about it a little bit. I don't know if it was all the services or not, but it was one of them for sure.
One of the four.
Where you talked about you're the only person that has the influence that you have in your circle and in the people's lives. Mm-hmm. And your perspective into somebody else's life may be completely different. You know, I think about, I mean, no, we're not going to get up and talk like Andy talks, right? Mm-hmm. But when we get up and we speak, we're speaking from a different perspective into somebody's life. And I think there's power in that. Like, mm-hmm. you get to speak from your perspective about what God has done in your life. And I think, again, yeah, it's really easy to get stuck in that comparison game, but he's called you to be you for a reason.
Yeah.
So that's
good. I like that you pointed that out, just that we each have a unique voice too. I think for so long, even me, I was afraid to speak up, you know, because that whole idea of what if I say something dumb in a conversation, you know, I've walked through that, but I still say dumb things, but it's okay. It's just that you accept that it'll be okay.
It's going to be fine.
But, you know, it's important that you know that you have a voice, that God's given you this unique place in the world, unique perspective, and he wants to use you.
One of my favorite parts about the message this weekend rolled into your third point, where you talked about trusting who he is. And you really look back at two different comments that Gideon makes in his response to God. Like, one is that God saying that he's going to be with him, and he's going to be like, are you kidding me? You know, look at the last 7 years. Where have you been allowing all of this stuff to happen? And I just thought that statement right there, and we kind of talked a little bit about this in the prep work mm-hmm. that you were doing well, was just like, man, that's a place that so many people are at. Like, we're trying to continue to proclaim this message of good news of who Jesus is and the hope that he brings. And there's so much that's happening in the world around us for, you know, from a perspective of a non-believer and a believer as well. It's like, okay, I'm holding on to the fact that God is good, but man, there's so many bad things that are happening around. And the response that God gives to Gideon in that statement and in the second statement was, you know, I'm asking you to step out and I'm asking you to trust me. How easy or how difficult do you think that is to walk out, and how difficult or easy has that been for you to walk out?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. Yeah. I mean, I think if you've been in a hard situation, you know that, and Luke preached about this, it's really hard to see around the wall, you know, when you've got your circumstances in your face. It's really hard to see God in it or see him all around it. And I've walked through that. I mean, I've shared from the platform, you know, as I've walked through grief and mm-hmm. I've lost both of my parents. And mm-hmm. and sometimes in those moments, you feel like you are in survival mode. You know, you're just trying to get through, and you don't always see God in the middle of it. I know he's there. It was more of a head knowledge sometimes than actually feeling it, you know, in my heart at all times.
Right.
And so I kind of wrestled through that, and it is. It's just difficult to see how he's working when something is so hard, you know, when something hurts, and it's every day you wake up and you feel that. It's hard to see that he's working in the middle of it, and I think that's where Gideon was.
Yeah.
You know, every day he's waking up and he's having to push through and do the hard work, and it was just hard to see God in the middle of it. And it's easy to struggle with the why. Yeah.
I think that there's also, there's hope on the other side of that too, because mm-hmm. I think you could also say it gets easier the next time to go, well, I remember in that season I stepped out, or I did the thing, or I pushed through whatever mm-hmm. whatever the situation may have been, and go, and God was faithful through that. Mm-hmm. So I know this time he's got me again. Mm-hmm. So I think that as hard as it is, mm-hmm. if you can push through this one, there's going to be a next time.
Right.
So to be able to go, the next time's going to be even easier.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reality here as well about reminding yourself about what is true about God, and not necessarily what I feel about God in the moment. Because mm-hmm. my feelings will, if I allow my life to be dictated by my feelings, man, I'm going all over the place, just given the moment of what's going on in a particular day, right? But if I can get up every morning and remind myself about what is true about God, if Gideon could get up every morning and just remind himself about what was true about God, that God was with him, that God saw him as a mighty warrior, that he wasn't going on his own, that he was going in God's strength. If he could get up and remind himself of that every day, and not just based upon how he felt, he was going to eventually get to the place of where he could see God working in that behind-the-scenes mode mm-hmm. as well. So it's oftentimes just, I got to remind myself what is true and not just simply go off of how I feel.
Yeah, and build those disciplines in. You mm-hmm. know, even when you don't feel like it, you get up and pray and you read the Word, because just the discipline of that is going to stick with you. You may not feel it that morning when you're getting
right.
up at whatever time, you know, to get in the Word. But then also the discipline, you just touched on that, of speaking, reminding yourself of truth. I hit on it in one service, but when you hear those lies of insecurity, you know, that the enemy tries to whisper mm-hmm. to you, if you start to feel less than, I've got this practice now when I start to have that thought of, oh, I can't do this. Well, God's, you know, Spirit is in me mm-hmm. and I can lean on his strength and he's going to help me through this.
Yep.
I can start to remind myself of those truths in that moment mm-hmm. and push through it that way.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. Anything that maybe didn't make it into the message that you wanted to share with people? Oftentimes there's a lot that gets cut
mm-hmm.
just because you can't share everything. Anything that stuck out to you that maybe didn't get a chance to hit on just due to time or whatever?
I mean, we hit on, kind of settled into the comparison mm-hmm. thing today. That was something that I didn't include in there that was really big. So I was glad Matt brought that out. Greg, you might remember something as we were working through this as a team. I think we hit on most of
yeah.
it. Yeah,
that's good. All right. Last thing that you want to make sure that people get as a takeaway from the message this weekend.
Yeah, just those 3 points. If I could go back to those. Know who you are. Know who you are in Christ, that he's created you for a purpose mm-hmm. and use what you have. And I think that was probably the biggest takeaway at the end. We ended with a question of yep. what do you have? And so I would just look at the gifts and passions that God has placed inside of you and ask him what he wants you to do with them. Take a step toward using them, serving others, you know, using your influence that you have, whatever circle you have around you, to use your gifts to reach others for the kingdom.
Very good.
Yep. Good.
Well, and trust who he is. Don't
yeah,
forget
if I say,
that.
you about left out that last
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trust
and
oh,
trust him. Oh, in the middle of all of that, trust who he is.
Well, you did a great job once again. Really great weekend. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that truth with us this weekend. And we'll look forward to the next time that you're up there.
Thank you very much.
And this upcoming weekend, Pastor Andy will be back in another installment of Get Healthy. It's also going to be Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, so
that means I get a bundt cake.
Bundt cakes.
Well, y'all just ruined the surprise.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
they
surprise.
Know it's coming.
So, yep, nope, we'll celebrate mothers here this weekend as well. And, yep, so if you haven't gotten anything for the moms in your life, make sure that you do that. Today's Wednesday when you're watching this, maybe. So, you don't have long, so get it. But anyways, thanks for being with us, and we will see you next week.